This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Say what? Come on, what you mean? It's my birthday again already. You mean to tell me there's a whole year that passed? Well, I'll be. Listen. First thing what I can do, get on my knees and thanking you, Lord. God, you brought me through a rocky, rocky road. Last year I was so scared, crashed my car and almost dead. I even broke my leg, but I am still yet to see that my birthday. Come on, get my birthday.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 6th of March, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, let me tell you all right away, I got Mr. Cecil Newry joining me this morning. It's more of a precautionary measure. I can tell you all why, because it's my mother's birthday today, and I just ready to party all night long, starting in the morning. It's Lila Green's birthday. I can't tell you all how old she is because she forbidden me to do it. And I trying to be a good daughter, but I will ask you all, if you see Mrs. Green today, tell her happy, happy birthday. She don't have all her children and her grandchildren here with her. And so we have to wrap her up with love. I know she would love to be with them where they are. Some of her family lives in the States, but that's okay. We're going to make sure she has a great, great birthday today. We also have to say happy birthday to Equality Bahamas and congratulations for a wonderful International Women's Day March and Expo. We marched from the Eastern Parade to the Dundas, and the Expo was held at the Dundas. Also, happy birthday to Emerson Stanton Roll, to Darren Stubbs, to David Thurston, to my colleague in Trinidad and Tobago, Verna St. Rose Greaves, to Janine Walker, to Bonique Popol, to Josette Christie, and Christoph Carey Randolph Bolin, Jali Thompson, yesterday, LaShant A. Wright, Derek F. Pinder, Anari Neely from The Spot, and to my cousin Indy Ingram. Happy belated birthday to Diane Phillips. Happy belated birthday. And to the best brother-in-law ever, Mr. Serge Lambert. Happy belated birthday, bro. How you love my family is just unbelievable. And I thank you for that. So a bunch of y'all having birthdays, had birthdays, and of course, I missed it on Friday. Happy birthday to Indira Martin. Happy birthday, Indira. We hope you had a wonderful birthday. And in case I forget, some birthdays coming up tomorrow to Anne Roll, educator from Exuma and Andrus. I mean, originally from Britain. Carnetta Nottage, Malika Brooksmith Lowe. Jonathan Archer, Reverend Jonathan Archer, y'all have, and Deverell Ferguson, y'all have wonderful birthdays tomorrow. Morning, Mr. Newry.
Oh, good morning this morning. It's always good to be invited on your show. I am excited about the topic that you have selected. I'm happy to thrash it out with you. I think it's that it's socially significant, and I'm eager to start the discussion.
Yeah, man. I think I want to talk about some stories that were in the headlines last week. I didn't get a chance to touch on them, but I think they are all important. I think these are stories that we should all be tuned into. We should attempt to follow. And we should attempt to gather enough information to form informed opinions and positions about them. you know, especially so that we would be prepared to give our contribution, if asked, as stakeholders on any of these issues. And really, so the theme for today is going to be transparency, right? I call it honesty, accountability, and transparency, acronym HAT. Is anybody going to wear the hat today? But before we get right there, some questions from last week about the QC roundabout. And there was a caller and I think a text and texters on Morning Blend that questioned whether you would be able to travel south upon exiting the QC main campus with the new roundabout there. And I want to say, after driving past it a couple of times, here's what I noticed. The southern entrance, the old southern entrance, is closed off. And the first option to enter coming from the south is the roundabout. And then when you pass the roundabout, there used to be a northern entrance. While that hasn't been closed off yet, it appears as if it will be closed off to match the southern side of the roundabout. If that occurs, then there will be one entrance and one exit on the northern main campus, and that will be the roundabout. As it appears, you are unable to get onto the roundabout from the northern exit, right? You can't go south because you can't get onto the roundabout. I'm going to try and get, Mr. Nuri, I'm going to try and get your contact so I could get some people from the Ministry of Works working on that project. So we could get a sense of what the plan was for the roundabout, what happened. No, this is important because they apparently they're going to put a second roundabout. Remember, there were plans to put a second roundabout further south on Village Road. I think near at the Park Gate entrance. And we really have to get this right. We're spending too much money on these projects not to get it right the first time. Here's something else I noticed while driving on that roundabout. The site needs better lighting. I was on the road, on Village Road, earlier this week and noticed that the small red blinker that they have on the median to let you know that there's an obstacle in the road is not flashing bright enough for drivers. It's also not positioned properly and wasn't actually flashing at oncoming traffic. I think this is important because you may have noticed that somebody already break up the roundabout. Oula, somebody already break up the roundabout. The coming north on the southern side, you know, as the road narrows and the median opens up to create the two distinct lanes, somebody already break up the median. Now, I don't know if this was an industrial, like construction accident, or if somebody big vehicle run up on it and hit it. I don't know if it's due to a lack of lighting there, but somebody already break it up. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, that seems par for the course, which would suggest to us that calls earlier in the year, at the end of last year, for better signage and lighting at the major roadworks project is necessary. Even when you think it ain't necessary, it's necessary. That's why there are standards. Right? That's why we don't have to depend on your opinion of whether it's necessary or not. That's why the rules say if there's a project, put the signs up. And here's the class of signs. Here's the number of signs required. Just do it, please. Please, because at the end of the day, it's our money. So just very quickly, question for public, is the back entrance to QC still accessible? And again, since we have to rebuild parts of the roundabout, is it too late to make it wider? And I thought you guys were taking a significant amount of land from BNT and QC to make the roundabout work. I don't understand why y'all only took land where the circle is. Y'all don't know that the lanes leading into and off of the roundabout are also a part of the roundabout. It's 2023 people. But all of this means nothing unless there are police officers or crossing guards to enforce the traffic controls on and around the roundabout. And once again, I am begging the Royal Bahamas Police Force to consider enforcing traffic controls, please. I just want you all to consider it. I know you got lots of things to do. Consider putting it on your list of things to do today. Because drivers are turning right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street like turning left on red is legal. Now, but they're doing it at multiple intersections, including Bay and Church Street by the new bridge. All across town, they are turning right on red at the Wolf Road, Bernard Road, Soldier Road, Village Road intersection. They're running straight across the intersection on the red light. Did you know that to pass the stop line at the red light is a $250 fine? And if your vehicle is found in the yellow box, it's a $500 fine. These are constant, frequent infractions that can generate cash if you guys are willing to enforce it. Last note, Mr. Newry, I know I got things to do. Last note before we go into this conversation about honesty, accountability, and transparency, and if anybody's prepared to wear the hat. Did y'all know that it's still illegal to turn left on red, except if you're turning left from University Drive onto University Commons? Did you know that? It is still illegal to turn left on red anywhere where there is not a sign telling you explicitly that you can turn left on red at this intersection. So as we have these conversations today, tomorrow, for the rest of the week, we're talking about law-abiding people and what should happen to people in our country that break the law. Please remember to ask yourself every day, how much effort am I putting into adhering to the laws and rules of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? So a lovely video, Mr. Newry, of a young lady. She's making a video in her car. Of course, the phone is mounted. She's talking about how the police have a roadblock in the East every day at 5:30. Is that true, Mr. Newry? You always have a roadblock in the East every day at 5:30?
It's possible. I know the police stop me early at 4 o'clock in the morning. No, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I was kind of concerned about the questions they asked me.
Yeah.
And I thought if I was one of those American, black Americans, persons who challenges the police, I think it would have been a problem. Because it was a concerning questioning. So I was on my way to work at that time, early in the morning. And the police stopped me and asked me why I am out this early, this late. And I mentioned to them, hey, I'm in uniform. This is the time I go to work, right? Yeah. I'm running late, but I'm in uniform. And they proceeded to ask me my name, where I live, where I work. They asked me if my car is mine, if they wrote down my driver's license. They didn't check on my driver's license. Then wrote a report on me that I'm out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. And I found that strange. And I'm saying, officer, why do you need all of this information? My house number, my formal address, my home phone number.
And they didn't charge you with anything?
No. And I said, am I getting a ticket or some sort? Like, I mean, I'm just traversing the street. This is only 2 o'clock in the morning. There's typical people. Yeah. Oh, you give an attitude. Oh, okay. Just answer the questions.
Hold on. They actually said that to you?
Yeah. I find it strange. So I'm now wondering, am I now in the system for driving late at night?
You could imagine if somebody tried to talk to you about you known to police because some police officers stop you at 2 o'clock in the morning. In a tourism nation where we offer 24/7 tourism services.
I'm in uniform, by the way. I'm in uniform. So I found out all, you know, you don't dress like you're in uniform. You know, you look like you have a suit on. I said, okay. This got some strange questions, sir, you know. But yeah, I answered all the questions. I assume that I'm now in the system officially.
Yeah, the question is just, are you known to police or not? That's troubling, Mr. Newry.
I was troubled with the questions.
Because I tell you why. A number of people have indicated that they don't have to use hand sanitizer when entering a business that has posted, please use hand sanitizer when entering, right? They say that all the COVID protocols have been done away with, you know? And I know that the government has dropped the restriction or the protocol on masking, making it mandatory to wear masks in public places, right? But you're still required to wear masks if you're entering a medical or health facility. Hand sanitizer now, I'm not sure if the COVID protocols on hand sanitizer use in public spaces is dropped. That leads us to the question of your freedom of movement. And if all of the restrictions from the pandemic were dropped, I really got to take a look at the new pandemic act, Mr. Newry, because it is actually possible. It is actually possible that we still live in under plantation conditions. Mm-hmm. It could be possible that the police do have the right to stop us even without the suspicion of a crime and treat us like criminals. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so before I make any further commentary about the legality of that action, I need to go find that pandemic act and determine whether the police have the authority to thwart or ignore some of our most basic, fundamental, inalienable human rights to make their job easier.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Let's go to this call, though. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron, hey. Good morning to both of you.
Morning. How are you?
Right here, my friend, right here. Three quick points. Mm-hmm. The roundabout in front of QC, has anyone considered if a traffic accident happened in that roundabout, what kind of effect it's going to have with traffic?
Mm-hmm.
The second point, the yellow boxes. I laughed just now because, I mean, what yellow boxes? The yellow boxes are virtually invisible now, and we still see people stopping inside the boxes, but there's no police intervention with ticketing or anything like that. I mean, it's just people are still blocking all the lanes. Mm-hmm. We're pulling into these, especially Village and Village Road and Wolf Road. And in particular, more annoying is the area of Robinson Road and East Street. Mm-hmm. They're still doing it.
Yeah.
My last point. You know, you're talking about the signage for turning left.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any news whether signage has been ordered? And if they have been ordered, when are they going to be installed? I mean, a law was passed to allow traffic to turn left on red, but there's still no signs, no signage at all. So these are some questions we need to consider. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. And the reason why I continue to raise it, Mr. Newry, like right now in this time, is I wonder if people understand the impact that this state of affairs has on society generally. You in your car with your children, and you in your car and other children in other people's car watching you in your car, and all we are doing is ignoring the rules, breaking the law, expressing our lack of regard for other people, for their right of way, for their right to consent, right? We are just modeling the most horrible behavior to our young people. Without saying anything, we are showing them that at any point in time, when they determine that it's expedient to them, they could break whatever they law they want. And they have the right to act outrageously or in an extreme fashion if anybody dare challenge them or bring it to their attention that they're doing something that's not just wrong, but is drastically wrong. That's what y'all modeling to these children. That's all you're showing them every day. And I wonder if we're prepared for the next 10, 20, 30 years when those children are now teaching their children and they have even less empathy for us. That's why I think it's so important. Let me get to these texts and then we're gonna push forward. Good morning, Aaron. My birthday is also today. Well, happy birthday to you, Diane Butler. I hope you're having a great day. And when you cook one piece of cake, remember you must always cut one piece. You must always cut two, because I like cake.
I like cake too.
Yeah, we can cut ours in half. We share us. We can cut ours in half. Now, the great show as usual. You from Fox Hill, I from Fox Hill. So tell Mom happy birthday and text me the age. They text her. You almost catch me there. We can't speak on honesty because everyone in the Bahamas go to Miami, come back and give the customs officer a bogus receipt. Boy, you don't know, one of the first lessons I learned about driving is never admit guilt. Never admit guilt. Another text, would you believe that I just drove by the roundabout on Friday and said why they made this so narrow? I wonder if you could see this at night. I wonder if anyone could drive down there and forget the traffic flow change. Those thoughts literally ran through my head. You have to wonder if anybody from Ministry of Works saw that roundabout ever, or heard about the lady who was killed driving into the unlit gray barricade on Munnings Road. Thank you, Texas. It's not like we don't have precedent, right? We don't have an incident that demands that we finally do the right thing and follow the industry standards. Another text. Good morning. While we're on the traffic topic, if there was a donkey of the week, it would be Mr. Campbell talking about people's cars, shocks, and what's not, and not their roads. Sigh. Dear Texter, thank you very much for that. I had a whole beautifully crafted poetic note, Mr. Newry, about it, right? Because, you know, they're certain it's the cars. It's the problem. It's not the roads. It's not the drivers. It's not the driving schools. It's not the lack of enforcement. It's the cars themselves. So they're going to implement a system that they probably cannot manage, especially if they can't keep the power on. And they haven't talked about models that are being used effectively in other parts of the world. So they want this new digital inspection system, so a more enhanced, rigorous inspection of your vehicle, right? Mm. But in Britain, they already outsourced that. The government knows that they can't take on that work. So there are licensed mechanics who provide MOT. It's like an inspection, your vehicle inspection, right? And you can't get your car license renewed, insurance, unless your MOT is up to date. But they enable private sector actors to provide that service, right?
And mind you, that's an interesting way to segue into our main conversation about accountability and expectation. Imagine living in a country where in front of the police station, in front of the traffic, you see potholes. Mm-hmm. Right, potholes permeate throughout the entire Bahamas on the main roads, mm-hmm. and then someone to have the audacity to say that you need to make sure that your cars have shocks. And I said, but you are the cause of the issue. How can you police me for when the roads are not conducive for having good shocks?
Right,
something is wrong, and I hear the need for government to make sure that these new rules are implemented. However, they are not doing their part in the whole overall narrative of having good cars. Because any minute, any car could be out of commission because they are traversing Bahamian Road.
Right, and this is why we need a car owners association, right? Because the roads are bad. If I am a dealer, if I am a licensed automobile brand dealer, I'm saying to the government, listen, these people are coming to me about I must fix their car under warranty. But I'm going to shorten this warranty because the roads that you provide for them to drive on are not the conditions under which these cars should be driven, right? They don't provide that condition. So why would I, a warranty holder, right, why would I want to fix your car knowing that I'm going to be taking on an extra cost due to the poor quality of the roads? It's the roads, right? The roads that are breaking them up. But like you say, this is a, is it a lack of honesty? Is it a lack of accountability? Is it a lack of transparency? Is it a lack of transparency, right? And the honesty part now, I could say, like, maybe you don't know, Mr. Campbell. Maybe you all don't know. Maybe all y'all technocrats and policymakers don't know. So I'm not going to say that you're lying, right? But what I'm going to say is you're not being accountable and you're not being transparent. Most of all, on the surface of it, my thing is this. Why does it always appear as if you see an exciting opportunity, you never actually delve into it deeply? On the surface of it, it appears as if you're only concerned about how do I generate more tax revenue? How do I bring in more money? If I enhance this traffic system, then I'm going to be able to bring in more money through the inspection process, right? But if you had spoken to the stakeholders, which are the people who drive in the cars, right? If you've spoken to the stakeholders, which are the mechanics, right, then you would see that it's not the car itself, it's the condition that causes the car to deteriorate far faster than it should do, right? There's another couple of other factors as well. When we go to the root of Mr. Campbell's concern, which is road safety, right? This is a move in response to traffic, increase in traffic accidents and fatalities. The condition of the car is just a very, very small part of it, sir. First of all, let's get into the driving schools that are teaching people to break the law when they drive. They're teaching bad driving. They could get upset and say whatever they want, but every day we witness on the road driving instructors turning left on red when they shouldn't be turning left on red, not forcing their students to make the proper 3-second stop at the stop sign before they go forward. Y'all are literally teaching people these bad driving practices. The next thing is a lack of enforcement. You've got to enforce the rules. If people continue to watch police officers ignore basic traffic controls, there's nothing you're going to be able to tell them. Then they're going to do it. They're going to laugh when the police officer gives them the ticket. They're going to continue to not show up to court. They're going to continue to frustrate the court system. Something has to change. And then we get to the roads. And so, you know, I'll be fair and take H off of the hat, right? And just call it a lack of accountability and transparency. But Mr. Campbell, as for a young man, you got to come sharper than that, because that one is an easy read. And we ain't reading what you reading. The math ain't mathing. It's just a lack of accountability. Let's go to these two calls and let's get into the next story. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Nui. How are you doing, my brother?
Blessings to you.
But I didn't want to ask you two guys, because I spoke to Dwight, on that Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, we just go on the Saltwater Park every Saturday and Sunday. That's the one between Blue Road and Market Street, the old timers and masters, et cetera. And I thought all these parks, the posts are Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. You know, when I mean, all the taxes that be paying, man. You know, you can't go to the park and get a Wi-Fi free. The school students can't get a Wi-Fi.
Ah.
You do homework.
That's
but
right
then, can't you just SC running, man? Who would charge that with PDC or Alive? Fix it, man, please.
Absolutely.
2 minutes ago, they come out there watching the games and stuff, man. And that's all I would say this morning, Aaron and Mr. Nui. Thanks,
man. Listen, it is absolutely vital. It's absolutely vital, man.
I know, I got to brag about it.
Tired, man. This country, I don't know what kind of country this is running, man. This is a backwards country, man.
It's thank you very much, Akola. It's definitely problematic. What'd you say just now?
The government bragged about it. This is one of the highlights, feathers inside their cap, that they put Wi-Fi in every park.
In their cap or their hat, their honesty, accountability, and transparency.
It's the same thing. Go right back to the hat.
Man, it's like the schools opened up and nobody cared about access to Wi-Fi for poor people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Mr. Neary.
Pleasure, man.
Morning, morning.
Listen. Y'all was talking about the roads, and you know the road and traffic is my pet peeve.
Yes, ma'am.
We're talking about the potholes in front of the police station. What about that bad, terribly bad road has been for years by the accident emergency at PMA?
I just passed that today. It's bad. It's bad.
Terrible.
If an ambulance speeds through there,
that's it,
it's
right?
It's a crisis.
Do you understand? And the part where they come up with this electronic way to do the inspection on your cars, and like you say, in some other parts of the world, they outsource that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they know that already?
Mm-hmm.
They outsourcing them to friends and family and lovers. That's the reason why they want to get to that. They need to put some monies in some people's pocket before they leave.
Oh boy, that's a strong statement, ma'am.
Look at it. Think about it. You think if you go find out, they don't already know that?
I just saying, I like to think of it as trickle-down economics on the plantation.
I like that.
Yes,
but,
ma'am.
Yeah, that road, somebody needs to talk seriously. You know, talk to Mr. Dapple, asking us, has he ever driven on that portion of the road?
I don't think he's going that route. That's for emergency only. He goes on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Okay.
It's, and it's very, thank you very much, ma'am. It's very telling. It tell you right away what they think of poor people who have to go to PMH, accident and emergency. I want to tell you all just very quickly a story about PMH. I have a good Grammy. I have two good Grammys, Corinne Mitchell and Una Hasty. But my Grammy, Corinne Mitchell, was in PMH in the public ward. And let me tell you something. If Corinne Mitchell will get up out of her bed at 2:30 in the morning and call a hacker to take her home because she have no business in this ward, and Corinne Mitchell is the most Christian, dedicated, devoted to Christianity woman I know. If she'll get up at 2:30 a.m. in the morning and call a hacker to take her home from PMH, then y'all know y'all ain't wait nothing. Y'all ain't wait nothing. And then that takes us back to the BTC story. BTC, we just saying, I'm not saying you're not worth anything. I'm just wondering where those assets are being held. Are they being held in the Bahamas? Yeah. Please, BTC. We don't even have to say anything about it. The service is horrible. Communication is horrible. People in the East were out of service for weeks, Mr. Nuri. with weeks without any big public notice, making people aware of what was happening. Weeks and weeks and weeks. It's amazing. Anyway, but this park thing is very important. Y'all, please get it together. Even if it's only poor people who have to rely on the park. One day we can talk about how important that service is to people living under housing crisis conditions in the inner city. Very, very important. Mr. Newrick, the two stories, a couple of stories I had today, these guys are the headlines I thought we should look at. The first one, PM disclosing, but 1 in 10 MPs don't. Unclear whether Davis misses the March 1st deadline. That's in the Nassau Tribune from last week. Listen, if your prime minister and your deputy prime minister has not made their submissions before the deadline, that's a clear indication that y'all don't have the political culture necessary to take this seriously.
I wanted you to speak, but I want to interject that last year, it was a big hullabaloo about the declaration. Mm-hmm. Because there are some persons who the chairman who's in charge of the declaration said that they didn't understand it. It was confusing. So they knew that the Bahamian public was going to be concerned that come March this year, everyone's supposed to declare because it's of urgency now. We were waiting to see if it's going to happen again this year. Mm-hmm. This year, there cannot be an excuse. There's nothing any politician can say to the Bahamian populace on why they are late regarding not declaring. They knew we were coming with this. Now, I've seen on social media that two members of parliament, you mentioned Deputy Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister has published his record of declaring his assets and liabilities. The MP for Agriculture has declared his assets and liabilities. For sure, we know two MPs have declared, did what they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't speak for anyone else, but be sure about those two. They made it public, and I'm sure they did it because they know of the demand from what happened from last year.
Right. The Tribune article tells us that Michael Pintard, Marco City MP, Pia Glover-Rolle, Public Service State Minister, Adrian White, St. Anne's MP, indicated they had done so before the deadline. Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper assured his filing would be done before the end of that day. Some MPs have called for the process to be modernized. I like the writer was so gracious and said some MPs. Because if they had said some cabinet ministers.
And I will beg you, I do not know the process for this. Okay. I don't know how tedious or how difficult it is to declare one's assets and one's liabilities. Yeah. It may be a painful, painstaking event where it takes a lot from you, right? It may be just that. It may be that you need to hire an accountant. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to have a CPA and that a layman MP cannot do this all by themselves. So therefore, that's caused a delay.
You could imagine that the process is so rigorous and complicated that the PLP nor the FNM could find the technical staff necessary to support their MPs in this venture. You could imagine that. It must be so hard that the PLP couldn't find an accountant, one accountant, 17 accountants. Mm-hmm. To help ensure that their MPs follow through with perhaps one of the most important procedures for parliamentarians in the whole Westminster system?
One must have to assume that they either didn't see it necessary to hire an accountant and say, hey, we do all, right? Or I assume they let everyone declare their own. But it is a concern. And I think that the public needs to understand and appreciate why is there a constant delay? How hard is this? Mm-hmm. And in fact, right, one must consider why is this something that needs to be have a signatory of a CPA, or the declaration is general, what do you call it, approximate numbers?
Yeah,
does one have to be detailed information, or they say, man, I think I made $30,000 a day or this year, I think I owe $2,000.
I tell you what, I think it has to be detailed because the chairman of the commission speaks about having to verify what is being said, right, by the in the submissions. Mm. Right, so I think it requires an accurate rendering of the numbers, but you've had a whole year. Mm. You had a whole year to look back at what you did, speak to your peers about how they do it, ask for a referral and then get it done. I mean, the Prime Minister speaks as if he doesn't do his own himself. He speaks as if somebody else does it for him.
I assume so.
And he got to check and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do.
But the Prime Minister has shares in several businesses, right? Including his law firm, which bears his name, but he's not an active member of it.
Right now.
I assume that firm has an account to say, this is what transpired for the Prime Minister. His share came up to this. This is payment we paid him. Mm-hmm. This is assets and liabilities. So it should be something simple. Just press print.
It should do. And I wonder, maybe it is that the people in the commission are not impressing upon the MPs the importance of this matter. I'm going to read from quotes from the chairman of the Public Disclosure Commission, Bishop Victor Cooper. The chairman indicated that most members of the parliament have filed. Like I was indicating, we have about 90% of them have filed, and so most members have filed. That's a good indication. He told the Tribune yesterday, it's an important disclosure, and so we trust that everybody will kind of comply with that. But as I thought I said earlier, we also need the senior civil servants to ensure that they make their disclosures with the proper documents to verify what it is they're saying. And so that minister and the leader of the... And so that we can put this behind us, those who fail to disclose, we're just going to be sending their names to the Prime Minister and leader of the opposition as a matter of fact. Mr. Bishop Cooper.
I see you paused.
Yeah, I had to pause. I just want to let Bishop Cooper know that you're in the Bahamas. This is a free-to-quit state. If you don't like the job, you are free to quit and go home.
What are you trying to say about the bishop?
If you don't like the suggestion that we're just going to be sending the names as a matter of fact.
He following that arrested.
Pardon?
He just doing what everyone else did, the last commissioner.
That's why I paused.
Yeah.
I give him time to consider it.
You expect more from him?
I mean, at the very least, I expect him to do what's required of him in
the
function.
He's going to send to the Prime Minister and the leader of the opposition. He didn't tell anybody.
He didn't know. It appears as if he didn't know any numbers. You are the chairman. You're supposed to know the numbers. And you, the day, March 1st is the deadline.
He's supposed to come in facts, you said.
By March 2nd, you should have a brief that you walk with. Even if you can't memorize it, you should have it in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even keep it on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Have a nice little printout like this that you could read from every time, anytime anybody asks you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You read from it from the very beginning. This is one of the most important.
See, his flippant response is what you have concern with.
Absolutely. It suggests to me that he doesn't really understand the purpose of this function.
I think he understands.
And the function of the office.
I just think he didn't care to give a right answer.
That's even worse, Mr. Newry.
Mm.
That's even worse. What made this stand out for me, right? This article is in the Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
And on the front page of the Guardian is an image. It's a lovely story of Sebastian and the renaming of the building on University Drive right here in honor of one of his family members.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Prime Minister in it, but the picture prompted me to ask this one question. When was gaming legalized? That's it. That's all. When was gaming legalized? And if people don't understand what the issue is, right?
Mm.
But Prime Minister justice must not be done. It must be seen to be done. Fairness, balance, and equity must not just be provided.
You're talking
it must
about
be
the past.
Seen to be provided.
Aaron, you're talking about the past. That's because I may have been broken the law beforehand, they forgive me. And if the Bahamian people forgive me now I'm legitimate, I can be seen taking picture of with the Prime Minister.
I appreciate what you're saying, right? Especially
don't judge me by my past.
Especially when I go to that story, government urge, don't be hog over vacation rental taxes. That was also in the Nassau Tribune. And then there's a complimentary story. Department of Inland Revenue launches registration portal for short-term rentals. That's in last week's Guardian, right? So I like the point you made.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the past, right? I like that. I want to remind the Central Bank of that, right? And the Department of Inland Revenue, because they're very concerned about regulating the short-term rental and short-term vacation rental industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of with them on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of with them on that. Except they don't forget the past, buddy.
They don't forget the past.
No, in this article, they show me that the website, the application y'all been using for years to book all of these vacations, mm-hmm. they could go back 5 years. Mm. They could even possibly go back 7 years. Mm. They could look at what you've been doing. Mm. And they're going to use that. Well, I infer from their statements that they're going to use that information to determine the rates that they're going to set for the future. So some of us don't look back at the past. At least some of our past don't get looked back at. Mm. And some of ours. Anyway, life on the plantation.
Short break and we answer the caller for on the next side.
Yeah, man. Callers, thank you for holding on. I'm sorry we lost you. You guys stay tuned. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Mr. Newry joining me and holding me in line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You can look on all your gifts. We done sing your happy birthday and your birthday.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Happy, happy birthday to you, Karen. Happy, happy birthday to you, Karen. Happy, happy birthday to you, Karen. Happy birthday to you. Honey, you so nice, Karen. Like sugar and spice, darling. Like the morning dew, darling. I'll always love you, darling. For all the things you have done for me, I have to sing you this melody. Happy, happy birthday to you, darling.
Good yawning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If I may bother y'all for one more moment again, happy birthday to Lila Green. Coming in from all the family everywhere. I even gathered up all my Hasty Hannah and Tynes people to say happy birthday to you as well, Miss Green. Producer, I see that call. Mr. Newry, let me get these texts. The Ministry of Works needs to ensure that warning signs are erected at these prolonged open holes, ditches due to stalled road or utility works. The amount of damage to our cars due to intentionally made unmarked holes are ridiculous. Listen, I just want you all to know that whenever you hear me calling for the Minister of Works' resignation, this is a part of the reason why. These are basic, fundamental things. These are easy. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm calling in reference to the MPs on filing.
Yes, sir.
I'm having to more than likely get an accountant.
Yes.
Now, they put that on the small businessman. The accounting, we have to have an accountant year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And the monies would come, would be paid and come out of our profit.
Mm-hmm.
So now they need, that should help them understand what the small man is going through. and we have to deal with this all year.
Yep.
But they can't get it right in the first 3 months of the year.
And
no penalties for
them. And businesses, you expire on the 31st and you expected to submit within that first month. They get up until March.
And then pays.
Yeah, yep.
And they doing what they feel like, and yet they'll have all kind of tongue lashing for the small businessman and the private sector on what they could do, what they should be doing, and all of this, but they're not doing it.
Absolutely.
And it's hard on us who have to pay these accountants all year round, and you can't replenish your stock.
Yeah.
That's something coming out of your profit.
Absolutely. I feel you.
And they don't seem to understand this, man. I can't understand these people. Anyway, I just want to make that comment, man. Something needs to be done with them, man. That's how they were punished us. Punish them.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you.
Okay.
You know, Mr. Nuri, I in my advocacy work, I always hesitated taking grants and money from organizations, especially EU grants. If you get an EU grant, you have to hire at least one member of staff just to manage the grant.
What about for the NGOs and the NPOs? Shouldn't they have an accountant on staff?
Absolutely, and I think this is a part of the NPO Act process, right?
Because I know of an NPO whose light keep on cutting off. They just can't keep the light on and always begging the public to help finance these regulatory bills. They
absolutely.
Just
and I think
something's wrong.
The Ministry of Social Services should partner with private sector corporations or businesses to provide, like we have pro bono lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
We now need pro bono accountants, right, to mm-hmm. ensure that the mechanisms that are part of the governance framework can function,
okay.
That they can access funding from the government and globally. Okay, got time for one more caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, David Stark, and always along with you, Aaron, and of course, Nuri.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
I'm holding. I'm sick of we need justice, law, and order in this country. I'm sick of there's some what you would call holes in the street, especially Mason edition. Mm-hmm. And what you would call the hedges need to be trimmed. East Hill Street and on Parliament Street special, you know, especially. Well, of course, they're all over the place. But so whoever responsible for that, they need to do better. That's being nasty.
Mm.
And also Bay Street a stink. This whole area going over the hill, it smells like human feces. Government need to do something with this stink country.
Thank you, Brayman.
Thank you
very much. And on that note, we have to remember that we are all the government.
Mm.
Right? We all have a role to play. Don't let the politicians tell you that it's only them that's the government. Only them make the decisions. Only them get the glory. That's not how this Westminster system is supposed to function. And we get the governments we deserve. That's why I govern myself and attempt to govern the raccoons that insist in living in the bush. Next to me, Mr. Nuri. Last text, Ms. Green, the bravest people in Nassau are the cyclists, because who would want... The text that they are the bravest because they insist on driving in these roads with no helmets, without any safety equipment. They don't adhere to the traffic controls. They know other drivers are not adhering to the traffic controls. And they don't get their bikes licensed. I bet they don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they are the bravest.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nuri, we got to go because I'm eating into your hour.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining me.
I enjoyed it.
You can continue this conversation. Who's going to wear the hat?
Mm-hmm.
Honesty, accountability, and transparency. Mr. Prime Minister, the buck stops with you. What about the hat? Let us know.
Mm.
You've been tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're saying happy birthday to Mrs. Lila Green and Serge Lambert, the best brother-in-law in the world. Maybe yours is the best, too. We could fight over it with cake. Happy, happy birthday. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Nuri is up next.
Happy, happy birthday to you, Karen. Happy, happy birthday to you, darling. Happy, happy birthday to you, darling. Happy birthday to you.